Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You ready?
Mr. T!
Yes.
Stop making the eyes at me. Stop making the eyes at you. What signifies me is that I don't really want you to. And you're saving my building. You are a building. Your name is Yono, but I don't know the dance. Lighting the cause, man, we don't think I'm on. I don't look good on the dancing floor.
He's on one, isn't he?
I don't know if you're looking for the man for. I don't know what you're looking for. I think that you look good on the dance floor. Dancing to electric cars like a river from 1984. From 1984.
Fair play. He learnt all the words.
Steve Basford.
Steve-o!
Good old Steve Basford.
Steve Basford.
Singing us in with some Arctic Monkeys.
Can't do that.
Oh.
you can't do that.
Sorry, Steve.
Online at owlstalk.co.uk. You're listening to Owls Talk FM.
It's the Owls Talk podcast and we're back.
Sponsored by Foster's Lager.
Not really, but we're drinking it anyway.
Yes, we are.
Because it's the only thing that was in the fridge.
Well, I'll be honest, I left a full bottle of fucking Jack Daniels here the other night, so there better be some of that left in a minute.
Full bottle? Did you not see the shots that you were drinking?
Well, it weren't shots, it were pints.
Pretty much.
So, we're back. We're finally back.
Yeah. And there's been a lot going on.
It's been ages again since we did anything, isn't it? We need to do these more often.
It's semi-regular.
Yes, it is, like my poo.
I don't know where that came from.
I mean, well, my arse, obviously.
Yes. We're back. It's been a while. Neil is now back from...
drinking.
Being mental.
Yeah.
Although he's still mental.
Yeah.
Drinking whilst doing this is either a really good or a really bad idea.
I think it's a great idea, especially considering the experience we had the other night where we did a brand new podcast, which was called, I think, just Drunk Cast or something like that.
Yeah. I've currently got that private on SoundCloud. Shall I make that public?
No, it should stay private for legal reasons. And
I did put a link on Owl's Talk, but very few people have noticed it.
Well, I think what started off as just going down to Kelham Island for lunch turned into pretty much an all-nighter, and then recording in the early hours in the morning, or it might have been 8:30 at night, I can't remember.
I think it was literally about 9:00.
Great. That's not embarrassing at all. And it was just absolute carnage. It was oral carnage, if oral as in audio carnage.
What can I say? What? I'm not even going there.
I've been there too many times. So yeah, what are you looking at me like that for?
I think you might be thinking something completely different to what I'm thinking.
All right, okay.
And what I'm thinking is just wrong.
You're thinking about the girl with Capri on the stairs. Bob, look who it is. Listeners out there, never trust anybody that's got cat poo on the stairs. That's all I'll say about that. I've learnt that from very dangerous experience.
In the drunk cast the other night, you're not going to remember.
I can't remember.
I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Yeah. Do you remember talking about a girl that got worms by licking an arsehole?
No. That's supposed to be something I've read on Google this week.
It was something. You said it was something from Google.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was it? Worms from licking an arse?
I'm sure that's what it was.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was wrong. So, back to the world of Sheffield Wednesday and Owls Talk.
Owls Talk. If you don't fucking bounce, then you're a blade.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone, to Owls Talk podcast.
Yeah, if you do want a regular podcast, then Owls Americas have just started one.
They have, yeah. And they started up. They're American.
Kind of giving away in a title.
Hence the title. What is the full title of the podcast? so people can find it?
It's the Owls Americast.
Right, that's good.
From Owls Americas.
That's very good. I really like their website, by the way, and all. Yeah. Their, I like everything they do. I think
all their branding, all their stuff they've been doing on Facebook and stuff. I've quite liked it for
massive
a while.
Thumbs up, massive thumbs up from Owls Talk.
And it's semi-professional. It's like, well, compared to ours,
anything is
professional.
Anything is. I'm just drinking Foster's.
But yeah, it's really good. The Owls America's Owls Americast.
I like the pacing of it. I like the intelligence of it. I like the professionalism of it, and I like the. Things that they do. I love the bit where they interview fans in America and ask them how they got into Sheffield Wednesday. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
One guy got into Sheffield Wednesday just because he liked owls.
I didn't hear that.
That was the very first one.
Was it?
It was one of the actual main presenter guys. He liked owls, and so when he was playing FIFA one time, he came across the Wednesday badge with an owl on it and adopted the club.
In normal circumstances, that's the kind of person I'd avoid in public. It sounds a bit weird.
These are people that...
They're not. Weirdos. Everyone in America is weird, aren't they? They put cheese on everything. They put cheese on
it's not even cheese. It's
put runny cheese. They put runny Chubby's cheese on the breakfast.
Chubby's cheese,
It's Chubby's cheese. You don't put Chubby's cheese on your breakfast, lads. Stop it. unless they live in America and don't put Chubby's cheese on their breakfast. But I think chances of that are highly unlikely. And they're probably 25 stone, aren't they? I've not seen photos of them. But America's, Americas, you're probably 25 stone chubsters who puts Chubby's cheese on your breakfast.
And you voted in Donald Trump.
Yeah, enough said.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's essentially the guy, it's the guy that originally made the New York Owls, who then expanded it across to all of America.
He's doing a fab job, and I think there should be more groups like this, like the Lithuanian Owls and the Estonian Owls. And that,
they might be a bit niche.
No, and the...
Eastern Bloc Owls.
Eastern Bloc Owls, yeah. And the Polish Owls are the most interesting because they come from a country that looks like shit.
In what way?
Well,
you mean the shape of the country?
No, I just mean...
Because it doesn't.
You've
been to Poland.
I've been to Poland. It's grim. It is so grim. I got stuck on a council estate and there was this daubing on the wall everywhere we went, which was 1910, 1910, 1910, and we couldn't get off this estate. Right, we're in this tour bus and we're traveling around and we couldn't get off this estate at all. We turn left, we turn right, everywhere we're like a dead end, and I can't even describe how grim it was. It was probably like driving through Raqqa, do you know what I mean, at the minute.
Right,
it was desolate, but people actually lived there. But everywhere on the walls were 1910 1910 1910. We had no idea what it was.
I don't off the top
no
of
idea head. Right, so we were, I'll be honest, we were terrified, absolutely terrified. And we eventually found one little exit road that got us off this estate that we went to by accident. This isn't in like Warsaw or anywhere like that. It's right in the heart of like middle of nowhere Poland.
Yeah, like most of America is the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and we get away and we come back to England at the end of this tour. We looked it up and it was like the worst football hooligans you could possibly ever encounter. And if you Google it on YouTube, right?
Google on YouTube.
Google, yeah, sorry. You know what I mean? YouTube.
It's owned by Google.
Yeah. YouTube it, 1910, put 1910 Poland or something like that. And you'll find these football hooligans playing with landmines. And there's one that stands on top of a shed and just drops a landmine on the floor and blows himself up.
Wow.
On YouTube. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
I know. So like we've never been so grateful as to get away from this housing estate ever. On the flip side, we went to, because like I was touring with a band and we played somewhere like Warsaw and we had to go to somewhere else, Lodz or something like that for the next gig. So we stayed in this hotel, which was like The Shining, right? We had the whole hotel to ourselves, right? We pulled up, it was like all this vast amount of space with just a hotel in the middle of it. So we drove down this track, gets to the hotel. And let's be honest, it was cheap as chips, so which sound like a pint of lager, like 30p or something, which were cool. So we checked in and went for a walk into the village and got lost. And we ended up at a gypsy barn dance by accident.
Did you join in?
And where I thought we were going to die.
Did you accidentally marry someone?
There were two guys on the door that were ex-Polish SAS types, and they were like 6 foot seven, and I honestly thought we were going to die. And they were like a family, and they were sat at this massive long table, like the Godfather or something like that. And the head of the family went to the toilet. So I said to the lads who I was with, like, we're either going to die or we're going to die. I said, but either way, we've got to do something.
Good choices.
We have to do something to kind of survive here. Because, like, if we don't blend in with these guys, they're going to take us outside and stab us to death. It was that scary. It was honestly, genuinely that scary. You know, you've been in a rough pub, a really rough pub.
Yeah.
Like the pool ball stops and all that.
Yeah.
10 times worse than that. This is in the middle of nowhere, in this village in Poland, in the middle of nowhere, like 100 miles from Warsaw, like just literally in the countryside. And we gets there, and when you walk in a place like that, you can't just like walk out and go home. Do you know what I mean? You'd be noticed and you'd be followed. So this guy goes to the toilet, this head of this family. So I just went and sat in his seat at the long end of the table, and just sat down and started drinking his drink. And he came back and I just went like, all right. And he's like, what is going on? And his lad was sat on the left of me, and you could tell he was just about to kill me. And so I got the father of the family, I put my arm around him, I get him a drink, and I said, like, you and me, we're going to drink tonight. And I sat him down and we drank, and we managed to survive that night.
Obviously, because you're here.
Yeah. But probably the most terrifying experience of my life that ended up with me being sick on the street. whilst
every night.
Whilst laid on my stomach. So I didn't like bend over and throw up or just stand and throw up. I was laid on my stomach.
Why were you laid on your stomach?
Swimming. Swimming
on the street.
There's an amazing photo of it as well, where someone's, I think Chris from the band, like, was just holding my head up because I just couldn't lift my head up.
Is this the photo where you laid out in the middle of the street?
Yeah, yeah, in the middle of like this village in Poland. But like the most amazing times. What I would say is, I like that kind of experience now. I'm addicted to it. So I think I'm not going to go on holidays anymore. I'm going to go to places like that, middle of nowhere, and just like see what happens.
That's interesting.
How did we get onto this subject?
We were talking about the Owls Americas podcast.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know how they're linked, but...
Your experience in Poland, was it like going into the Globe and being asked if you're a Wednesday fan?
See, the Globe, right? That's either a student place or a football hooligan place.
Very much, yeah.
Or a mixture of the both, but I just avoid them places.
Yeah.
But it's a bad experience when you go in and someone says, as soon as someone says, like, oh, you're a Wednesday or United, you're like, oh, God, knuckle draggers, innit? It's like, yeah. It's like, stay away from them knobheads. Just leave them to it. I don't get that being a lad kind of thing.
Yeah.
You never get a football hooligan on their own. That's all I'll say about that. Mm. They're never on their own.
Good point.
Never on their own. So it's just something to impress the mates. Yeah. I mean,
and if they are on their own, they'll not do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
It's like people who are absolute idiots on Owls Talk when you meet them in person.
We've been talking about that recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like another personality, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there can be absolute horrible pieces of shit on Owls Talk. And then you meet them in person and they're as nice as pie to your face.
I don't understand that. It must be mental illness.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Owls Americas, Owls Americast, go out and listen to it.
I haven't actually found it on iTunes yet because I've not looked.
I think they've been struggling getting it on there.
But let's hope it goes on iTunes. Let's hope it gets on iTunes because I want to subscribe to it. I genuinely think it's probably like the best podcast, new podcast I've heard in ages.
What the f***?
You just triggered.
Alexa, shut up.
Stupid Alexa. Triggered her again. Oh, there he goes.
I genuinely think, for the first one, that was like their test one, weren't it? So,
yeah,
like, they were
their pilot
episode where they were just trying a few things out. I thought the format was great. I thought the pacing was fantastic.
Yeah.
What they did in it, the content was great. So, I think, yeah, keep it up and keep them coming because, like, I'm a big fan.
I'll be listening.
Yeah, same.
I'll give it a good listen every time it comes out.
A good listen, yeah.
As opposed to a bad listen.
Yeah.
How do you listen to something bad?
Eh?
How do you listen to something
bad? Hey! Got ya.
Everybody listening to this will know.
Got ya.
Owlstalk.co.uk, home of the official Owen Morrison fan club.
So, yeah, it's a good job that the Owls America podcast came. I can't even talk. It's a good job that they did that podcast because we've had absolutely nothing happen because it's been international break. Which has sent everybody mad.
International break sends everyone mad. It sends, honestly, Owls Talk goes into complete meltdown every time because there's literally nothing else to do but whinge.
Yes. And let's face it, people whinge on Owls Talk on a normal day. International break time, it just basically brings this big microscope down on everything that's not necessarily football, because essentially we won against Leeds, so everything's all right now.
Thank God. Can you imagine if we'd had an international break on the back of that? I don't think Carlos would have survived it.
And the fact that it was such a brilliant performance as well.
It was outstanding.
If we'd have scraped it by like 1-0 with a last minute goal.
Yeah, it was so exciting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Like 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, that's how it should be. That is how we should be playing football every week. It would be amazing.
Yeah, so...
But we don't. And we've got Bolton Wanderers coming up away, and I can see us sending out a team of big, strong battlers to just grind out a 1-0 win on the counter-attack, which would be disastrous, because I think we'd lose.
We don't want to play like that. No, nobody wants it. The fans don't want it. The neutrals don't want it. I'd rather go out and lose like 3-0 by going for it.
So when Carlos did that £20 note press conference,
yeah,
Andy Giddings pushed him on this, didn't he? And he says like about attacking football and you can't get your players up for big games and stuff like that. And Carlos was obviously really passionate, really emotional, got his £20 out, waved it around and that. But I think I'd like to know if that is the first time that Carlos has heard that criticism, because it's been a criticism of a lot of Wednesday fans that Carlos can't get his team up
for
big
games. That
can't
be the first time.
Yeah, but who else has said it to him? Do you know what I mean? Like Andy Giddings saying it to him. I don't know. I don't get it.
People had a go at Andy Giddings for asking those questions and pressing it. And Andy, he did say that he was just asking like what the fans wanted to hear.
Yeah, he did a good job, I thought. I thought Radio Sheffield and the presenters come into their own when they have a bit of strength. So like Rob Staten, when he gets stuck in and when Andy Giddings gets stuck in and asks the direct questions, it might not be what the managers or players want to answer, but the questions that the fans want to at least find out what the answers are. Do you know what I mean? So fair credit to...
But there's a category of fans, which I'm now going to label as sicker fans.
Yeah, I like that.
Play on words.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just came to my head.
That's more like when you're in my apartment and I've had too much beer and I throw up on an oscillator. That's a sicker fan.
Oh, imagine as it's going around.
Yeah.
Splat it everywhere.
I've done it.
But yeah, there's some fans that seem to like just blindly support absolutely anything that comes out of the club.
There's all spectrums, isn't there? Especially on owlstalk.co.uk, world's finest football forum. And there's the full spectrum of those that support everything and those that just wait to pounce on everything.
Yeah.
And then those in between.
And I think we were saying earlier, before we started recording, that there's kind of a little sense in the air that the Carlos outers are currently waiting.
I think so. I think the ones that are like, oh, he should be gone. I think they're just waiting in the wings to pounce I think they're waiting for us to lose 1-0 away to Bolton.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Owlstalk.co.uk. Proof that giving the general public a voice is a really bad idea.
So we've had Carlos outers going mad. Then we won at two Leeds.
Yeah.
Which was a really good performance. That's kind of died down and it turned it around on Joe Palmer. He got the Carlos out treatment.
Yeah, he did. There's a lot of criticism on Mr. Palmer at the moment. I don't know too much about Joe Palmer. I heard about him coming to the club and saying that he wanted to give us an experience on the commercial side that we've never had before, and that he'd got all this experience in, you know, turning clubs into these money-making machines and stuff. But I've never met him.
I've not met him.
I don't know too much about him.
Some of the criticism is valid, isn't it?
A lot of it, yeah. So like, if on paper, you
can't disagree with a lot of the criticism.
If you took the emotion out of it, we're engaged Sheffield Wednesday fans. If a neutral came in and said, right, okay, let's have a look at Joe Palmer's record since he came in, I think there would be a valid call and a valid justification for Joe Palmer getting sacked. Do you know what I mean? To put it bluntly, but ultimately, this fella's coming to our club to kind of put things right and get things better. The club shop's got worse. The shirt's nowhere.
Somehow.
How would you make that worse? We've had times where they were selling Danny Wilson Toby jugs, bendy pencils. Yeah.
Crossbar fudge. Out of date.
And there was something, I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but there was something where they marketed it as, if you drop your keys down the drain, this will help you find it. I need to look through the archives and find out exactly what that was. But
if you look on Internet Archive, all of the old Owls Talk like home pages are still on there.
Yeah, they are.
And there is a club shop section.
Yeah, there is.
Club
shop classics. And I might resurrect that page because it's worth looking at, because the stuff that we had on offer back then was criminal. However, and I don't know if Joe Palmer's to blame for this, but how long were the playoff final T-shirts that we lost, right, that we lost, the commemorative T-shirts, how long were they in the shop for after we lost at Wembley?
They were there for as long as we haven't had a kit this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just bizarre. So we've got a club shop that people are screaming to, look, we want to spend this money. We want to give Sheffield Wednesday our money, right? Yeah. What's annoying is we haven't got anything to buy. There's no sign of the kits. God knows where they are. There's rumours that they're actually sat at Sheffield Wednesday in boxes.
An amount of, yeah.
Yeah. They're nowhere to be seen. They're not on sale. Everyone's kind of saying they're going to boycott it now because it's just took too long and they're not going to pay full price for something that they get, you know, 4 months until the next one comes out. Yeah. The old kit's still on sale for 55 quid. The old shirt, if you go on the...
That means nothing now.
If you go on to the... Who's buying that? Who's buying it? Who bought the playoff final commemorative T-shirt a year after we lost it? Who bought that? Honestly, right? So you got fans screaming, saying, look, give us something to spend our money on. You go into the megastore and, oh my word, it's such a depressing... I've never walked
it's
in...
It's actually physically depressing walking in.
It is.
The light in... It's oppressive it as is. You walk in.
At least they've got rid of Antonio off the wall. He were there for like 3 years after he buggered off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like, seriously, it's a bad situation when you've got all the fans, and it's not just the fans in Sheffield that nip into the shop, it's all the online ones. Like the America's fans in America, they'd buy something, but everybody's keeping the money in the pocket and buying snide T-shirts off eBay that someone's gone. So these Chinese developers or whatever it is, these Chinese manufacturers, have made a snidey copy of the home shirt, the new home shirt that's not out, and they're selling it for 20 quid, and people are buying them instead. It's come
and
on.
And they do look shit. But.
The worst thing is, right, there's been no communication on the shirts whatsoever. Everyone's embarrassed. There's people tweeting the guy from Australia saying...
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
It might be his fault. It really might be.
It might be. But, who knows?
The abuse that he's had on
Twitter.
He's
getting some grief. And he's like...
And on LinkedIn as well.
But I think he's hinting that the club has had the shirts, but they decided not to.
It feels like it, yeah.
And there was rumours that they got sent back because the quality was crap.
Now, but that rumour was from, like, April or May this year.
Yeah.
That, for me, isn't a current rumour.
No,
it's just been recycled now.
Yeah, it's like 6-7 months ago. And you're like, what is going on? Does anyone really care about buying these shirts anymore? If they come out... What's the story going to be with that? Are they going to half price them? Well, they buy them in at like, what, 6-7 quid each or something like that? So they don't have to sell them for 55 quid. They choose to make money, which probably explains why the old shirt is still 55 quid in the shop.
Well, they claim that it wasn't on a sale or return thing, one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so they'd lose money if they reduced it.
So weird, isn't it? It must be not...
Which doesn't make sense either way you think of that.
The whole situation is probably the worst I've ever seen. Ever.
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 Which, and like, that is saying something.
Joe Palmer, if you're listening to this, you've just won a world record for the world's worst situation when it comes to home shirts. And we've had some bad ones. We've had fans screaming in August... Where's the kit? Get it out because we want to go on holiday with it. Yeah. Fans want to their new shirts on holiday. You know, in the ideal situation, you get them out for the last game of the season. The team would play in them, and then you would be able to go to the Megastore after the match and buy them for the first time, and then go on holiday with them.
I've recently looked back at time frames as well, right? And the time frame generally is, because people generally don't know that all of the shirts that are produced for every club in the world generally go through the same kind of 4 or 5 factories in Turkey and the Middle East. And stuff.
Yeah.
So,
that place that Mike Baldwin made knickers on Coronation Street.
Yeah, like Underworld, and I don't know why I know the name of that.
Underworld!
But, oops.
All their knickers are born slippy.
It took a second for that. But yeah, so basically these factories, you know, when a fan will say, we need Adidas shirts or we need Nike shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
These factories work for all of those companies.
Yeah.
And it's largely the same material, goes on to a machine run, and they'll do one set like of 20,000 shirts for one team for Adidas. Then they'll reset the machines, reset the cutting, and the next lot that goes through there is like a Nike shirt for another team.
Yeah.
And that's how it works for all the big manufacturers generally.
Yeah.
To get booking onto the plant there, you have to book it, because every team goes through there, you have to book it like 6 months to a year in advance.
Yeah.
So that's why when we've done kit votes in the past, the kit vote has always been in November or December.
Yeah.
You want to have the design finalised for the end of December, first week of January, then you can book your slot on these factory lines. Right. So knowing that we're not going to use a mainstream supplier.
Yeah.
You know that you're going to have to do something even earlier than that.
Yeah, ideally.
Right, so they went and apparently went to tender. Some companies let them down in apparently April or May this year.
Is this the one where they agreed a price and then they went back saying double it or something?
Apparently.
It's so weird.
Do you believe that?
How does that even happen? You get a contract, you're like, you will supply me 10,000 shirts at £7 each. Yeah. This is how much it is. Here we go.
So it's gone out to tender, right? They've agreed a price. They've agreed a run. They've said, we'll supply you 10,000 shirts at a tenner a piece or whatever, right? At that point, you sign a contract.
Yeah.
So they're trying to blame this manufacturer for reneging on the contract. Whereas, in my mind, it's a club's fault for not signing a contract and holding them to it.
Whoa.
That camera's just died. So, your battery pack's coming out of the back of that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
We're all right, I think.
So
I'm not having a good day with GoPro, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I think you pretty much hate GoPro.
Fucking GoPro.
So what is that noise?
It's a wolf. It's a werewolf. We have a werewolf. So what are we saying?
So yeah, it has to be someone at the club's fault for not signing a contract and holding somebody to that contract.
Yeah.
Right, so it's the club's fault. But even then, knowing that you're going to manufacture your own under a white label manufacturer or whatever,
yeah,
there's not many places that can do that kind of run of shirts for a club our size. You're going to need 20,000-30,000 shirts.
There was a photo of the plant that was starting to do, I don't know what it was, shorts or something, or
that was
something.
Recently.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't look like a mass production place to me. It looked like they were 10 at once or whatever.
The company in Australia that we got, basically their business model is, if you're an amateur sports team,
yeah,
you want the same kit, then you can go to them, design your own kit through them, and they'll do you over a run of like 15 kits. You can even get down to one individual kit.
I like that guy that runs that company. I don't know what's happened, but I really like that guy. Did he come and I was trying to talk to the fans at one bit? Was that him?
No, I think that was... Well, I've not seen it if it is. The one I remember is the guy from the programme.
Oh, sorry, yeah, that's him. But, like, the guy from Australia, I really liked him. And the worst thing that's happened is... Well, not the worst thing, obviously, because the shirt's not here, but another funny part of this is that there's photos of this guy with the new kit in Australia, like a year ago, saying, like, oh, we're glad we won this contract, because essentially what it'll do is give Sheffield Wednesday the opportunity to really swiftly get their shirts out faster than anyone ever's done before to their fans. And it's what we're in October.
Yeah.
It's nearly Christmas.
It's the middle of October.
Do you think that... I don't, but do you think that Mr. Shansiri is going to say, right, sorry about all that. Let's have a Christmas special. All the kits are on sale, tenner each.
Or on the flip side of that, because they still want the money for the rest of the season, the flip side is they say, right, sorry, we've cocked up a bit, and this kit will also be our kit for next season.
Yeah.
So you still get a full season,
yeah, extra season and a half. Yeah.
Which would then lose revenue for next season. Yeah. So it's like a bit of a catch-22 situation.
It is. Thing is, right, if you're going to jump ship from Adidas, Nike, and that all your factory providers that you were talking about earlier, if you're going to do that, you do it with like a year in advance minimum to make
you
that transition.
You need about 2 years planning of it, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because you're planning the whole thing. You're going to scope out, you're going to tender.
Yeah.
And you're going to start, because you're going to eventually go to a plant that doesn't produce in the quantities that the four or five plants around the world do.
Yeah.
That do it for everyone. You're going to have to start production a lot earlier.
And I think for all the any fans that's listening to this that is like, oh, for God's sake, shut up about a shirt. It's just a shirt. The money from this shirt that we could have been selling could have paid for Irby Emanuelson.
Oh, God.
Couldn't they? Which, who it turns out, claims that he was one of the highest paid players at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
didn't he claim he had parity or something on the highest?
Oh, I think you can get tablets for that, though. Or just go see the physios. They'll sort it out with some cream. But yeah, it's important. It's important to fans to have a shirt, ideally for holidays. To go to, people want to sit on the beach in them and walk around Marbella or whatever, don't they?
Because you really want a short-sleeved football shirt, like nylon polyester, at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. The beach towels are in stock. The beach towels are in stock in October, but not the kit, not the home kit that everybody wants. I'll be honest, just on this point, Mr. Palmer... I can't justify him being at Sheffield Wednesday. I'm not saying
on
sack
this one
him.
Single point.
Yeah, I'm not saying sack him. I'm just saying this performance isn't good enough on this point. Whether or not it's like the chairman that's like dictating
that's,
stuff,
that's
I don't
the thing.
Know. But
you don't know exactly who's done what.
No.
What stage in this?
You don't. But like,
so he could be completely innocent.
He could, and so could Carlos.
It comes under.
So
his
could
remit.
Carlos with like results if the chairman's buying the players and dictating who plays.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what goes on at a football club except those within it, and they don't tell us. They're never going to tell us.
No.
So for me, it's like, Mr. Palmer, if it's not your fault, I apologise, but you're the one with the job title. Do you know what I mean? When Joe Palmer came, his press, all the press releases and all the stuff that went to like Sheffield Star, and he had a big article in that, he said he was going to be in charge of the commercial stuff and the retail stuff.
But it's not just the kit.
How do you make... How do you make the megastore worse? Honestly, if you were a Sheffield United fan and you came to this club when he did, and you're like, right, let's really get these Wednesday, you know, let's really mess it up. Couldn't have done a better job of it. It's like, how do you make it worse? We had, before Joe Palmer came, we had the worst football store I've ever seen of any football club ever. It's absolutely terrible.
I remember.
Online and offline, bendy pencils, you know, Owen Morrison caricature sketches. Honestly,
I remember about 2010, when we were really, really bad. I remember going to Carlisle and walking into their club shop, which was literally a shack on a corner.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff in their shack on the corner was 10 times better than anything we produced.
Do you remember when I posted an house talk? I think it was at Christmas. No, it was in the summer, I think. It was somewhere around them. You have to correct me on this if you're listening and you know the answer, but... There was garden gnomes for sale, and I think there were Christmas ones.
Yes, they were.
In summer. They had just gone on the shelves.
Yeah.
Christmas garden gnomes, right? Who's going to buy a Christmas garden gnome anyway, in summer?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And stuffed toy meerkats.
Yeah.
Right? That basically looked like they'd been strangled and left on a street.
Yeah.
And it basically looked like roadkill.
Yeah, roadkill. Like, roadkill.
About 2 years after the meerkat thing was really popular.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the playoff final. We went there, lost, came away gutted, and Sheffield Wednesday kept on trying to sell us T-shirts. Not even for, like, £3. That's the thing. If they were £3
they didn't
selling
reduce
them off,
no.
They didn't even reduce them. Where are they now?
Oh, I think they did after a bit reduce them to, like, £12.50 from £15.
Where are those shirts now? I said on Housetalk, dot co.uk, the world's finest football forum, I said on Housetalk, give them away to like just literally anybody that could wear them.
Send them to Africa.
That's what I mean. Stuff like that. Send them there.
Give them to a homeless charity.
Yeah, or send them to Hull. Do you know what I mean? But
the city of culture.
Yeah, but they didn't. And every week I were doing updates, going like, right, let's do a football shirt update on House Talk. Are they still in stock? Yes, they are. They're still being sold. Where's everything else that we want to buy? Oh, that's not available. We haven't got anything like that.
And as well, it's not just that they were still being sold. It's that when you walked into the shop, they took up at least half.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. half the retail space.
Yeah, the entire space, the entire display.
They just filled the mega store with playoff final t-shirts that we lost 6 months to a year later. Oh, jeez. Someone tell me that that's acceptable, right? You, a neutral looking at this would be like, what the hell are you doing? You've got fans sat there with cash waiting to spend, and what are you selling
And it
them?
Was summer as well, because obviously it was after the playoff final, and it went into the next season, didn't it?
What's happened with the watches? What's happened with them? What has happened with these watches? They did a limited edition 150 of what are these Seconda watches, which are like, what, Secondas from the 70s?
Basically, these watches you can buy without the badge on from like Argos, like Elizabeth Duke or whatever.
Yeah.
For $69.99 or $89.99.
And they're not worth that.
And they've slapped a badge on them and want to charge £150 because arbitrarily that's what comes to the head for the 150th anniversary.
It's massive anniversary. We'll announce it. We'll make a big deal of it. We'll do all these plans.
Send everyone an email about it.
Yeah. And then what we'll do, we'll sell you a watch, right, that's worth £60. Which is like, fair enough. You know, they do that. They just
There's
stick
always
going to
be a markup for the badge.
Yeah. So, like, they stick a badge in it and think Wednesday fans will buy it, which they did, right? We'll do a limited edition run of 150.
Mm.
Fine, okay?
Yeah.
So then there's the chance that if you get one of these watches for £150, they might increase in value, given that there's only 150 ever made of this anniversary year. They might not.
They're not going to, right?
But they might. But that's what people might have thought, right? Because it didn't look nice.
It's something that's like a nice gift for somebody or a nice keepsake. It is something that's...
It's better than a lot of the stuff in the megastore. So
it's fair than every other watch the megastore has ever stopped.
Yeah, it is. That is true.
I actually have one upstairs because
some
absolute dick gave me one.
Oh.
Right, and it's never been out of its box. It's like plasticky and just like...
I'd have given it back. But what am I saying? So there were 150 made, and the club made this big announcement saying, like, right, 150 of these limited edition watches from Seconda. Do you want to buy one? So everyone went, fucking hell, yeah.
So what you do as, like, the retail manager or whatever, the software's there in the shop where you put your stock keeping in or your pre-order amount.
Yeah.
You type in 150.
Yeah. How many have you got, Mr. James, to sell in your shop?
How many are you going to sell?
So you're doing a limited edition 150 watches.
Yeah. So you type in 150.
On the back end of the electronic shop, you say, right, I have got 150 of these, so you type in 150, press enter. That then populates your store with 150 watches.
Yeah.
So you can't sell...
For good stock keeping practices.
Yeah.
Like, so you can track how many fucking final t-shirts you still have.
Yeah. So you can't sell any more than 150, because like what will happen is it'll count down to zero, and once it's zero, it'll take it off...
Out of stock.
Yeah, it'll say out of stock on the shop. Amazingly, this is, I'm not even kidding, right? This is the only example I've ever heard of anywhere by anybody that's put something on sale like this and then had to email people going like, yeah, you know that watch that you bought, that limited edition one? We actually sold too many, so you can't have yours, so here's your money back.
No, they didn't say, here's your money back.
Oh.
That's the other thing.
See, I didn't know that.
This is how fucking shitty it was, right? And this has actually got me really mad.
Yeah.
Right? They sent an email saying, sorry, we've sold out of that limited edition, like, 150th anniversary Seconda watch.
But we can let you have 10 playoff t-shirts.
No. So, they said, but we've got this £60 watch in stock instead. You can have that.
You're joking.
Which wasn't limited edition.
Oh.
Or you can then apply for a refund.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So they didn't automatically refund these people or anything.
Well, this has turned into shop talk, but it's disgusting, isn't it? It's disgraceful. Fans want to buy decent stuff from the club, especially in 150th anniversary year. Who is responsible for all this? I feel sorry for the staff in the shop who have had grief abuse, and knobheads have been going in giving them grief.
Yeah.
And giving them
it's
a
not
hard
their
time.
Fault.
They don't. They're on like shitty wages, yeah, working as hard as they can. They don't need some dickhead going in shouting and screaming because they haven't got this and haven't got that. Leave the staff alone.
They've got a shitty enough job as it is.
Yeah, they have. Like, leave the staff alone.
In that oppressive bunker of a shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, surrounded by playoff final t-shirts.
Yeah.
So I
can't believe, sadly I could believe that when the reports were coming in that they were getting abused, it was just like, oh, this is just too much now. So this makes it worse. This makes it even worse. The decisions above them that are being made that are causing this grief that means that they get abuse. That's not on.
Yeah.
Sort it out, Sheffield Wednesday.
And where are those people when people are kicking off?
Yeah. Sort it out. So anyway, it's led on to, I think, something's happening with this shirt, this home shirt, right, that's not coming. And the third shirt.
Oh, yeah, that just disappeared. So that like was a competition.
The club ran a competition to say, design the third shirt, right, for the anniversary year. The kid that did it produced what I think is an absolutely outstanding design. Yeah. It's gorgeous. And I think people would have bought that left, right and centre.
It's classy. It's like it's
nice.
It does look like a 150th anniversary.
Yeah, it does. It looks special. And I like it. I like it a lot. So well done to the kid who designed that. I can't remember your name, but well done. That was a great design. But it's nowhere to be seen. And everyone's saying it's not going to see the light of day. It's not even going to get produced.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, the kid that made one, has he been given one or will he ever get one?
I don't think there is one. It's like what is going on?
He designed it for literally nothing.
So anyway, it comes back to Mr. Shansiri now saying, what we're going to do, we're going to take any questions.
Oh, but before we get to that as well,
yeah,
one more amazing item.
Go on.
The dream scene.
Right. Jesus.
Another thing, it was a great idea to do a big dinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Great idea.
Invite people. Great idea.
Yeah.
The prices are charged a bit extortionate.
Yeah.
But fair enough, it's an exclusive event and they've paid a lot of money to get a lot of these people there and whatever.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Then they release tickets for the bar on the day.
So you can just stand up and watch people eating the dinner.
For like...
Did anyone buy a ticket to go and stand at a bar and watch someone eat the dinner? Did anyone buy one of them tickets? If you did, what were you thinking? I know you're Wednesday fans and you're loyal. And
I bet they had a good night because the entertainment was good. The production, the presentation, like I watched it on YouTube.
I thought, right, so the YouTube video, it's still on there, right? So you can go and watch it. That was outstanding. Well done to the club on that. That was great.
Well done.
Really good. It was well produced. It covered everything. The camera work was great. The production was good. The presentation was good.
Clem was a great presenter.
Clem was fab. And it was good, wasn't it? It was good, that. So, like, fair play.
Sherry was drunk.
Yeah. He'd been on Sherry. So, yeah, but, it was like, it was all right, fair enough. So, like, I haven't been too critical. The night was good. It was a success.
This is the Al Stork podcast.
So they did.
So they did the dream scene. They revealed the dream scene, and then revealed the prices of the dream scene.
Yeah, but they revealed this like over a period of days and weeks.
Hmm.
So like they revealed
it's great. It looks brilliant.
It was good. Yeah, it looks fab. So the artwork that the fellas produced on this is outstanding again.
Yeah,
looked great. The actual canvas or whatever it was that they originally produced, amazing. Really good. Really, really good. It was great. It was like edge to edge beauty, weren't it?
Yeah.
And then they decided to produce one for normal fans. Is it 150 quid each?
Yeah.
150 quid each.
Right? As a print.
So it's just a print. Framed print, 150 quid. And they got the names the wrong way around on it. How is that even going to happen? On a limited edition, anniversary, 150th anniversary, £150 framed print that our fans, Sheffield Wednesday fans, loyal fans who pay so much money to watch the football club, shelled out for it, and it weren't even correct. What is going on?
And they ruined the design. Like, they over-designed the whole thing to put, like grey badges in the corner. Like, there was three badges in the border.
Three badges.
Right.
Three badges on the... This is
17 different fonts used.
And, yeah, on a white border. Three badges. And it's
fair enough, have a border.
Yeah,
fair enough, put a badge on it and say what it is.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. My heart goes out to anyone that bought one of them, because you've been properly ripped off and disappointed.
Yeah. Again, I think it's outpriced a normal fan. What has there been for a normal fan to buy from this 150th anniversary year? There's not a kit.
No.
There's the dream scene was too expensive for me. The dinner was too expensive for many fans. The watch was expensive. What has there been for normal fans?
I honestly don't know. I just think this whole 150th
The one redeeming factor of this 150th anniversary year for me has been the programme against Sheffield United.
Yeah, the programme. I don't know who proofed that that canvas, you know, that framed thing with the wrong name. I don't know who proofed that.
I presume the artist has done that and sent it as print.
And everyone makes mistakes, fine. But someone should have proofed it at the club to make sure they didn't
Everybody
go out with mistakes.
Everybody who's bought that should be off the replacement if they want.
Yeah, they should, because I'll be honest, if that was on my wall, it would bug the fuck out of me. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, that's just so annoying. It's like when you go to someone's house, right, and they've just decorated, like, oh, look at our new lovely wallpaper, and you see like a slight overlap.
Yes.
Forget the rest of the wall. It's just that tiny little bit where the wallpaper overlaps each other. It's like, oh, so annoying.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So, like, yeah, that would annoy me forever. So, yeah, they should get a refund or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, the programme against Sheffield United, a fiver to buy.
Massive as well.
Got the dream scene on it as the cover, as a gatefold opening cover.
Yeah, the fireworks.
Yeah, the fireworks display on the inside. It looks really good, and the content is brilliant throughout.
Well, yeah, well done to whoever produced that. That's
the one thing that Wednesday get consistently right, and I said this on Al's talk, and people just dissed me because I was trying to be positive at a time when they all wanted Carlos out.
Yeah.
But the one thing the club consistently gets right is the programmes.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, for like a fiver, that is such a quality production.
Well done to whoever did that. Awesome. Really good.
And they always do good commemorative programmes. Like, the last programme of every season generally is like a special one, and it's really good.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. It looks really good. And you could buy them online as well, which was great. You could order them online before they came out. It was good, so you got it delivered in time. And that, it's just a shame about the result, but we'll gloss over that.
Yeah.
So then
Mr. Chansiri is offering feedback. He's offering to answer fans' questions.
Al's talk. We've let it go to shit.
So, over the recent weeks, I think Carlos has been coming under some heavy fire.
Yeah.
There's been questions asked about the shirts, about the watches, about the canvases, about the lack of friendly for 150th anniversary in the pre-season, about, oh, I could just go on and on, where's the third shirt and all that. Everything just seems to be an absolute mess, right?
Yeah.
So the chairman says, I'll tell you what we'll do then. We'll answer any question, and nothing's off limits. We'll answer it.
I kind of get the feeling that he's taken all the criticism from Al's Talk, Facebook, other places. He's taken it on the, like, taking it quite badly. It's hurt him a bit. And he genuinely wants to put things right, or like wants to at least have a dialogue with people.
I like our chairman. Like, I really like our chairman. I think he's one of the best things to happen to us for ages. But
absolutely,
I don't think that he needs to answer any questions right now. I think Carlos has been under pressure, right? Mm-hmm. He was under real pressure after the United game, obviously. People were saying, get out. He pulled it back a little bit with the Leeds United result. And all he has to do now is crack on and do his job.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the football side taken care of. In terms of player signings, we'll find out in January. Right, but other than that, on the pitch, Carlos, just do your job.
Yeah.
Right. Off the pitch, everything has been levelled at Mr. Chansiri and Joe Palmer and the club, right, for the canvas, for the shirts not being out, the third shirt disappearing, the watches debacle where you couldn't actually buy one, and everything else we just previously mentioned, right, everything's been addressed. So from this point on, Mr. Palmer and Mr. Chansiri just need to do the jobs, right? Anything else is just tittle-tattle and pointless.
Yeah.
So there's no need right now for a feedback session. None. So I think, part of me thinks...
Do you not think that some fans do have legitimate questions to ask?
Yes, they do, but I think they've already been asked, and I think everyone's aware of them, and I think the club, all they need to do is get
the problem
kit.
Is the questions have been asked, but we're not necessarily seeing the answers. Like, the kit. Yeah, like, but nobody knows what's happening with the kit.
No, but, like, taking Mr. Chansiri, sending him an email with a question on, I don't know, it remains to be seen, but if he can answer that question then, why aren't they communicating it now so the fans aren't frustrated in the first place? Hmm. So if the fans are going to send an email saying, what's happening with the kit? And he says, sorry, it was down to this reason and this reason. They'll be out in November, or they won't be out at all this season.
Yeah.
Right? If he's going to do that, why not do the communication now via Trevor and the PR team at Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, just do an FAQ.
Just do it now. Yeah. Just do it. Put it out.
You know what the questions are.
Yeah, yeah. They already know what the questions are.
You know what you're going to get.
The whole thing's a pointless exercise to me. I don't think that Mr. Shansiri needs to sit down and answer any questions at all. I really don't. I think everybody's aware of the situations, and I think that all the bit that's missing is, one, the stuff getting done, so the shirt coming out, you know what I mean, the Gary Hooper signing a new contract, or whatever it needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
And results on the pitch and communicated on the website, on the official website and Twitter. That is it. That's all it needs doing.
Yeah.
Anything else is just like turning it into a bigger circus.
But you know what else? A lot of questions are being derived from the fans forum and the steering group.
Yeah.
That's going, because there's a select group of people going along to these events, which apparently last hours.
Yeah.
And the people that are attending them either are just like love struck and sycophantic.
Yeah.
That are sycophants.
Yeah.
Or, and hearing this more and more increasingly, they're just bored to tears in there because they last for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But then what a club do is then leave everybody to walk out and tell everybody.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes down to interpretation.
Yeah.
And so you get like...
Chinese whispers.
You get a thread on Facebook of like, this is what was said today, like according to that person at that time.
Yeah.
Which is different to something on another forum, which is different to something on Owl's Talk. And
yeah.
Like, why don't they minute it and publish it?
Just put it on the website. I used to go to them and I won't anymore. And I've not told like Trevor when he's invited Owl's Talk, for example. I just sent someone along.
Yeah.
Because I just can't do it myself anymore. It's just painful because you're sat in a room where, like you said, is just sycophantic people that are just giddy to be there.
Yeah.
There's people that are like so excited to meet the chairman or someone that they go love struck, and there's people that chat absolute bollocks. There'll be some, you guarantee that someone will stand up and go like, I bought a pie on Saturday and it weren't warm enough, do you know what I mean? And you're just like, sit down, knobhead.
It's like,
but you can't say that at the time, so I've stopped going to them, and I think they failed us a lot because I think
there's no point to them.
There's no point.
Literally no point.
If you're going to give the club feedback, here's one.
Increasingly, people are also saying that they're raising the questions and literally being told, yeah, no, it's going to be done about that. So there's no point to having it.
Well, no, but...
If it's not going to change anything.
I go to Cineworld cinema, right? I go to Cineworld.
Because you are the world's best film critic.
I am the world's best, finest film critic. I went to see Blade Runner.
Yes.
And this is just... this happens at every
2049
movie.
2049 or
whatever. Yeah, which is outstanding, right? Yeah. I went to see that, and I came out, and I loved it. IMAX was amazing. The sound was fantastic on IMAX. Came home. The next day, a little polite email drops in saying, well, you must give us a bit of feedback. And they ask you questions on, like, was it clean enough in the cinema? Were the staff friendly enough? How did you find the quality of food? Was it value for money? And you score it from 0 to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that needs to happen with stuff like this. One, get the
freeform box at the end for any specific comments.
Yeah, yeah, right. Get your product right on the pitch, right? So get results. Get your merchandise out so fans can spend the money. Yeah. And do all your feedback electronically from people on your database, so you know who you're talking to anyway, right? Send them an email with all these questions and 0 to 10. And let's see. And then publish the results on the website, even if the results are shit. So like, if it says, like, how happy are you this year with the fact that the shirt's not here, and everyone scores it 1 out of 10 or none out of 10, publish that. Don't be afraid of honesty.
And again, I'm going back to like 2010 here. The club did that, and they sent out an email to like a select group of people, and they posted the link on Owl's Talk and Owl's Online and Owl's Zone and all the Facebook things, right? Asking for feedback, and it was a questionnaire, and it was done by a third party, which is important.
Yeah.
The questionnaire was built by an actual surveys company.
Yeah.
And it was based around a match day experience, but then it asked you if you went into the shop and if you bought anything and what you thought of the products and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, took you down like different paths depending on what you'd done on the day. But that was collated quarterly. All the responses gathered up together. The third party went through it.
Yeah.
And they pointed out like all of the successes and all of the failings.
Yeah.
And every head of department had to write a piece.
Yeah.
Based on their department.
Yeah.
And it might have been cues at the snack bars we're too long, yeah, we're going to try and introduce more staff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, but that, it's an ongoing feedback loop. You just do that quarterly.
Yeah, yeah. That should be a standard. That should be like, that should be, but like Cineworld do it after every movie that you go and see that you book online, which is like amazing. It's fantastic.
And it goes back to clubs. Clubs, football clubs are behind the times anyway, because the majority of football clubs is just old fellas running it.
Yeah.
And they're just scared of any bad, any negative comments. They're scared of it.
Whereas like, when you go shopping online these days, you've got an instant reviews thing.
Yeah.
So like you can see, and on TripAdvisor and that, so you get, it's not always accurate, but at least it's a start. But
you do invite knobheads.
Yeah, but the whole entire volume of it means that it's going to equal out
exactly
somewhere close to accurate. So like, you know, if you go on TripAdvisor and you read a review about a hotel, it's going to be there and thereabouts correct.
Yeah.
Right, or accurate.
And let's face it, what you do with a review, like you go on Amazon to buy something, you go down to reviews, and what I do purposefully, the one-star reviews first,
yeah,
read through them.
Yeah, I do.
Laugh at them, generally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then at the five-star ones, do the same to that, and then I'll just go middling.
Yeah, same. That's what I do. But it's like, yeah, so I think the club could be easily, very quickly and easily improved by just delivering what they promise and getting some feedback sensibly, instead of all this mess of a process that they've got to try and get people to go to a fans forum and to email in the questions by having to provide the ID number. Why do you need that?
Oh, this is really pissed me off. Why?
You're literally, there's no
reason. You're not a legitimate fan if you don't have an ID number.
There's no reason. Why would the club need to identify who is asking a question?
There's many, many legitimate reasons why some fans don't have ID numbers.
And there's even more legitimate reasons why a fan would want to ask a question anonymously.
Yeah.
And you'd get more honest questions if it was anonymous.
And that's why, in my mind, that's why they're asking for ID numbers.
The strangest thing is, these questions are going to come in and they're all going to be filtered anyway by someone at the club.
Of course.
You know, so it's not going to be like Mr. Shansiri is just going to open his emails up and start reading through them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought, anyway. I would have thought that they're going to collate 20 or 30...
The email address is website@swfc.co.uk.
Yeah.
Which tells me that it's going to Trevor and his team.
Yeah.
Communications team.
Yeah, which is fair enough. So like, So they'll collate the 20 most popular asked questions, you would have thought, and then, you know, take him to the chairman and get the responses to that. So,
some people, when I've raised this on House Talk about why do we need a client ID number, some people are saying because rival fans, United fans, will just, like, they won't. Rival fans don't give two shits.
No, they don't.
They genuinely, they don't. They're not going to email in. It just doesn't happen. They're not going to abuse the chairman. And it's not going to go straight to the chairman anyway. It's going to be filtered. And also, it blows my mind that people think that's an issue. People spend so much time worrying about what might happen.
Yeah.
Just open it up.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
What does it matter?
What's the worst that could happen? You get some emails that you...
United fans, like, write an email saying, I hate your tuna, right? What? So what? Who cares?
Exactly.
What you've just done, you've got those 10 emails from United fans who have been knobheads, right? But at the same time, you've opened it up, so you've got 100 genuine, legitimate questions.
But, like, what I'm thinking now is, we're ranting down these microphones, like, are we right? Is it that simple? Because I think it is, and I don't understand... Yeah. I don't understand. I don't know.
Everything, it's like, with hindsight, everything's easier. And you can say that everything, as long as you do it properly in the first place, you don't need any of this stuff anyway.
Proof your canvases that you're putting on sale.
Yeah.
Put 150 into the 150 box when it says how many of these watches have you got to sell, and you've got 150 of them.
And let's face it, right? Proofing products before they go on sale, we've learned that lesson.
Yes.
After that.
Yes.
Fucking DVD.
Yes.
Farce.
Yes. What year was that?
That was 11, 12, was it? I think.
Yeah.
It was the promotion year. It was the actual promotion year DVD.
Has anyone got this? If you're listening to this and you've got this,
I've got two copies, both still in the cellophane because I know what's on it.
Incredible.
And do you know what, right? And just for people listening, at that point, we actually, obviously it went off to a DVD company in Leeds to make it, and they like did all the sign-off and stuff, right? We actually sourced and got so much brilliant music to go on there.
Yeah.
Like, we had Reverend and the Makers, Milburn, like, Violet May, like, all local, relevant Wednesday fan bands.
Yeah.
Like, brilliant stuff. Sent it all off, and it came back with generic stock music fucking bollocks on it.
It was
the names were wrong on the commentary.
Yeah,
like the names were wrong on the text.
What was
the
on the
scores
back?
Were wrong on the actual text on the screen, and on the back of the actual DVD, it didn't actually even make any grammatical sense.
It should never have gone on sale. That,
and I remember being in the office the day that DVD arrived on Trevor Braithwaite's desk. I've never seen anybody explode so much. It was amazing. I've never seen anyone so angry.
I bet. I feel sorry for Trevor on that day. That's a tough one. That shouldn't have gone on sale. That it shouldn't.
It literally just needed somebody to proof it, just to watch it once through,
or get Wednesday fans to produce it.
Yeah,
because at the time there were Wednesday fans offering to produce that.
There was, yeah. So. And all it needed for the back copy was Trevor to, like, do it.
Unbelievable. Get the simple things right, do you know what I mean? But communicate. Tell the fans what's going on the official website. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
You know?
What else is it for?
You don't
if
need
it's not to,
to
communicate with the fans.
You don't need to do question and answers, Mr. Shansiri. Because
they know what the questions are.
Yeah. And they know that they know the questions before they ask for this feedback. So what is the point of it? It's an
exercise to make it look like there's some kind of consultation going on, some kind of feedback loop,
or it's a precursor to some bad news coming about the shirt,
or that. And it doesn't matter what happens, right? Again, the sycophants thing, right? We'll get all the questions and answers. We'll get this FAQ by the end of the month. People read through it, and you're guaranteed that they'll go, oh, Mr. Chansiri is so great, isn't he? I love him.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just doing what he should be doing.
Yeah, I want...
I like him. I like the guy. He's a great chairman.
I want everyone to succeed. I want Carlos to keep his job, and I want him to succeed as well. I want the players to do well.
Yeah.
And all these things that we've whinged about today, none of them were necessary. They were easily avoidable. Do you know what I mean? Which is annoying.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you get that right, in the 150th anniversary year that I weren't bothered about until the club started hyping it up themselves, and then...
But, you know, it could be so good.
An almighty clusterfuck of a year. It's like, well, we've got 2 months left of this year, of this anniversary year. What's going to happen?
Well, technically, it's the anniversary season, isn't it? So let's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's going to happen until the end of the season. And technically, they could pull out, like, Real Madrid as a friendly at the end of the season to cap it off.
Yeah.
And that would be nice. They're probably not going to.
Yeah.
But it's just been a normal season.
Yeah.
It's actually been a worse season.
It has.
And we're not talking about the football stuff.
No,
that's still to be proven.
Off the pitch.
Off the pitch is the worst season we've ever had.
Ever.
And this is going back to all records. Like,
Joe Palmer, if you're listening, and if you're not, I'll send you a copy of this anyway so you can listen. Sort it out, mate.
Do you know
please.
What? Actually, Joe,
or come on the podcast.
Joe
and talk
Palmer,
to us.
That's the invite. Joe Palmer, come and talk to us.
Yeah.
And we can come and just. We can literally come to you.
Or you can come here and have a can of Fosters, because James is serving up Fosters for some reason.
I'll have a can of pissy Fosters. But yeah, come and talk to us.
Yeah. And we won't be hard on you. We just want to know
what
has caused you to deliver the worst the commercial worst and retail performance of all time ever.
And we're talking from a fan's level here. If we could go on for another hour talking about the commercial, corporate stuff as well.
Yeah. But this is just stuff that's impacting the fans on our talk. So we just thought we'd give those people a voice on this podcast.
But in terms of football, it's like, I'm not worried at the minute.
I'm not. I think someone said that there's a tendency to, I think it might be Alan Biggs today actually in the press, said that there's a tendency for Owls fans to just freak out for a great result and freak out for a bad result and just going for bipolar nutters, pinballing from one emotion to another.
It's evident on Owls Talk after we've lost a game, like the 2 days after we lost a game on Owls Talk, it's doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And then the opposite when we've won a game like against Leeds.
Yeah.
Steve Breakfast Update. Boil egg.
The one thing commercially we haven't talked about is good old Club 1867.
Don't understand what it is.
Literally just got an email
about it.
Basically, you give some money to the club.
Yeah.
For essentially what you're buying is a plaque that goes on a seat. You know, one of those little round number things on the seat.
Yeah.
A plaque that goes on there instead with your message on it, up to 60 characters, so your name or whatever.
Yeah.
The plaques actually look all right.
Saying Carlos out on them.
Do you think they'd do that? Do you think they'd take it? Shall we buy a brick and see what the funniest thing is?
How much are them bricks? Do they still sell them?
30 quid or something.
I might get one.
Yeah.
I might get one. Say, this brick cost me 30 quid.
I've got a few family members that have got them and stuff.
Have you?
Yeah. Our Casey's got one and stuff.
Yeah.
I think we should try and think of what the silliest thing is that we can try and get on a brick.
Cunt. What if your name was Mr. Knob, right? And if your name was Mr. Knob, and you said, like, yeah, just like me, brick name. My name on my brick, please. And yeah, what do you want me to put on there for you, sir? Because they talk like that in Megastore. You'd be like, just Mr. Knob. Would they do it?
Well, you can fill out a form and just send the form in to do it.
Yeah, but would they do it? Only one way to find out.
I think they have refused stuff in the past.
I might send a few in. That's the challenge. That's the challenge for the next podcast. I'm going to buy one. I'm going to do it before this podcast comes out, and I'm going to buy one. You have to wait a bit, don't you, for like runs of
games? Oh, yeah. It's again, you have to wait until they do a big production run for a certain wall.
Right, so I'm going to buy a brick with an offensive word on it. Buy a brick. Not offensive. I don't want to be offensive. Buy a brick.
Just a silly thing. Just something silly on there.
Buy a brick with silly word.
Yeah.
See, I always text myself stuff so I don't forget, right?
And then
in 2 weeks'
text.
Time... I'll read it and I'll go like, buy a brick with silly word. What's that? I've never once read a text message that I've texted myself and understood what it was. Never once.
Never. Do you remember when there was that plane crash and that American news network was trying to be first with the names and somebody put the names on Reddit?
No.
And this American newscast said the staff on the plane, like Malaysia Airways or something.
Yeah.
The pilot was called Holy Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
and there was something wonk. Yeah, yeah. We too low. Crash bam ow or something. Like,
oh dear.
Your mission is to try and get something like that on one of the walls on Wednesday.
Right, challenge accepted. I'll read my text message when I get home and go like, I've no idea what that is. Remind me and I'll get onto that today.
It's never going to happen, is it?
It is, yeah. It's worth the 30 quid in the 7 month wait.
Yeah. Just think in 3 years' time we can go down looking for it.
Do you get your money back if they decline to print what you want?
Yeah, I think they'll offer you like a replacement or your money back.
A Secunda watch? Half a Secunda watch?
No, I mean, like, they'll ask you to do something else instead.
Cunt.
That'd be an amazing phone call.
Yeah, so it'd be like, can you just put Mr. Knob on there, please? They're like, sorry, sir, we can't do that. We're unfortunately, we're not allowed to put that on there, so have you got anything else? Yeah, cunt. Sorry, sir, cunt. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
It's just Yorkshire for couldn't. So yeah, Club 1867.
Oh yeah,
is basically you give somebody for a plaque.
Yeah,
that goes on a seat.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's what it's supposed to be. With the promise that isn't contractually binding by all accounts.
Yeah,
that when we get promoted to the Premier League, you get a 3-year season ticket.
Now, here's my thoughts. Don't care about a plaque.
No. It looks nice, but
it gets took off your seat and all, doesn't it, at the end of the season?
I think the idea is that they keep these. I'd like to think so, anyway.
If the club get promoted this season, it's sound. But it's also a warning that if that's what they're going to charge for this kind of offer, how much your season ticket's going to be if we get promoted?
Well, that's another good thing, because it kind of gives us the idea that on the cop, it would be at least £26 a game for a season ticket, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which currently it's about £22 a game. So between £22 and £27.
So, okay. So if you base it on that, would you pay £4 extra to watch Premier League football on the cop? I think I would. So fair enough.
Yeah.
I think the whole scheme's a bit weird.
The thing is, it's a promise that's not contractually bound.
Premiership return ticket.
Because under...
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Under financial fair play rules, they can't say that you're going to get a season ticket off it.
Right.
So, as far as I understand it, I could be wrong. So basically they're saying that there's a promise that you will get it. But then, if there's nothing contractually binding, if we get promoted and then if Chancery decided that he'd had enough of people calling him names on Owlstalk, he wanted to sell the club and he sold the club, and whoever came in said, no, I'm not going to honour that, then you've lost out.
Yeah. I think they'll honour it. He said that they'll honour it, because he said that if he sells the club... Not he's going to, but he said that if he did sell the club, that would be written into the contract for the person that bought it, so he'd have to honour it. It was just fair enough. I think when you break it down to that...
It's basically just giving him a loan.
Yeah, but I think But like when you look at Herbie Emmanuel so walking away saying he was one of the top paid players at the club, etc. That is, I think Nigel on House Talk, for example, broke it down to that is 1,867 memberships or something like that that they've spent on it.
Jesus.
Which I don't think they'll sell 1,000 of them memberships.
But it's also, if you pull it back to the kit thing again, we're essentially loaning money to the club to get through financial fair play.
Yeah.
Just put the kits on sale and you'll have some money.
Here's a question, although I might have already answered it in my head. Why don't we put new kits on pre-sale? Is it because you think it'll affect the sales of the 55 quid current shirts?
Possibly.
Do you know what I mean? But like from January, say, from January till the summer,
yeah,
pre-sale the shirts, get them ready for the end of the season so that the last match of every season, we're playing in the new shirt and then have it available after the match to pick up and take home for holiday. It
is. This is another thing that comes up. People say that we should play the last match of the new season in a new kit. Technically, we could get dispensation to do it, but technically, we're not allowed to under league rules.
But I would get the dispensation.
If the league will give it to you.
If I ran the club.
The league have refused us dispensation for stuff before like that.
Yeah, but if I ran the club right, I would try, and I would try again, and yeah. I would try again to try and get it. If I couldn't get it, I'd put it on sale straight after the match.
Mm.
Or on the day of the game,
yeah,
of the last match of the season. Do you know what I mean? But my point is, the calendar of the shirts should shift, right? At some point, we should break the cycle and change the calendar of the shirts so that we get the shirt on sale on the last game of the last home game of the season or the last game of the season.
Whilst everyone's there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, while they're there, so they can pick it up, do you know what I mean, and take it on holiday with them, because that's what fans want. I think you would see a significant increase in sales over the summer. Mm. Well, you would, because they're on sale.
Yeah.
But you'd see a significant increase in sales just for, because you give the fans what they've been asking for years.
Yeah. They should have an event where they reveal the strip.
Yeah.
Like the new kit. Have an event, like an Apple event for the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Like an event where they live stream it on the Facebook Live and stuff.
Get Clem to present it with John Pearson.
Yeah. That's the other thing. That dinner should have been live streamed.
Yeah, yeah. Should have. They could have charged for that.
Yeah.
I'd have paid a fiver to watch that.
I think it was in the transition period between player and iFollow, so they didn't exactly know how that would work.
Yeah. But the iFollow's proving to be very popular, by the way. Our friends over in America, I think they love it by the sounds of it.
Get to watch every game.
Yeah, one of the guys is like, yeah, that's great. That's really good.
Yeah.
I know there's like there's
issues with commentary and stuff, I think.
Well, there ain't any commentary, is there? It is just the match. But imagine if you were an American, you'd never seen Sheffield Wednesday live, right? Well, you had on Sky, but you'd never been to a game or anything like that. So you'd never seen a full season. You'd just seen the occasional match on Sky. Mm. And the rest of it was commentary on Radio Sheffield that was broadcast over there. And then all of a sudden, all these games open up to you so you can watch them all the time. That's amazing.
But if you're in America, it's still backwards. Because in America, if you're a baseball fan or a soccer fan or an American football fan, they've had that for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the production quality now is so good that you can literally zoom in on, like, you can focus on one single player and get all their stats and like the full roster and everything. It's like
and it becomes a get everyone round to your house, have some beers and some popcorn and some chicken event, doesn't it? Then,
and we're several years behind what happens in the US with that, but we're getting there.
Hello, it's Oda here. All right, cheers, cunt. Bye.
I hate life.
Wow, that escalated.
Well,
speaking of which, the next topic is Chris Kirkland.
Oh.
who has very bravely come out.
I don't think he's brave anymore. I just think it's the right thing to do.
People should be able to talk about this.
Yeah. I don't know if it's brave or not. I think it's the right thing to do. I think, well, good on him. And it's interesting to find out that he left not for any other reason than because he was getting anxious about leaving home to come to play at Sheffield Wednesday games.
And he literally had a contract to sign. He was going to sign in like 10 minutes or something and then just decided not to.
Yeah. I've done stuff like that where, you know, where I've just freaked out a bit about stuff and got anxious about it and that. But I think Chris has done the right thing in just like bringing it up as a topic and saying just talk to people rather than bottle it up and all that. Because
And it's like, it's an interesting story how he loved playing at Wigan and then obviously got driven out of there. Was it Martinez at the time?
Yeah, he didn't want to leave, did he?
No, he didn't want to leave and ended up at Wednesday. And he said, like, obviously when it come to a match day and stuff, he was perfectly happy, but it was everything around it, the travelling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
It's interesting that, though, because, like, what about away games at Wigan then when he were at Wigan? When he had to stay over in Manchester, or not Manchester, but, like, London when he were playing Crystal Palace away in that?
I was going to say Manchester's not that bad.
Not really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. But if you're loving your job and you're loving the people around you, and it's like, it doesn't really matter so much, does it?
No.
And I'm not saying he didn't like the people around him, or he didn't like being at Wednesday, but it was at a time when like family stuff was going off and whatever. His missus wasn't well for a while, was she?
I don't remember.
So yeah, he's like, he was a good keeper for us. I quite enjoyed like watching him.
Yeah, same.
It was him and Bywater for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a quality pair.
And yeah, quality pair that you could choose from. You always
Bywater.
You had him as Mr. Reliable, then you had Bywater, who would just go off.
He were a nutter. And Bywater.
I'll never forget when he went for a drive and just ended up in Scotland or something. And on the way went
with
to
no shoes on.
Yeah, yeah. After eating Toblerone.
Yeah.
He went to a service station.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Bought some rice pudding, but then realised he didn't have a spoon to eat it with. So then bought a toothbrush.
Yeah.
And then he didn't have a tin opener.
Yeah.
That's Steve laughing at you.
Yeah. That is literally deafening. It's like a deafening elephant fart.
In these headphones, that did come through rather loud. Yeah. It made me want to go.
Jesus.
How long have we been talking for?
Not long enough.
Well.
Actually, an hour and a half.
Jesus.
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 That's Jev's.
Oh, we sounded exactly alike.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Dinner time.
Not doing that. Dinner time.
So,
I like you. You like me?
Steve's lunch update. Pizza.
I just wanted to ask you about your film criticness about the Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer.
On Owl's Talk, which is www.owlstalk.co.uk.
In case you didn't know.
Every Sheffield Wednesday fan should be on there, and they pretty much are, right? On there, if you register and you log into the website, it opens up about 10 more different hidden forums, which is all about everything in it. So like music,
yep.
Cinema, politics, travel, the whole lot, right? In one section, there's the film section where I'm the resident, probably go-to guy for advice on which films to watch and why. I am the premier film critic.
If you like your critique in just like four words,
premier film critic, and then in that we've been discussing the new Blade Runner, which is fantastic in IMAX, like the probably the best.
I've not read that thread because I've not watched the film yet.
Probably the best film in IMAX I've seen in a long time. Right. The sound alone is worth the money to go and see it. I'm not even kidding.
Cool.
Costs like 15, 16 quid. Just pay it, go sit down, and just watch it and. Oh my god, the sound is amazing, but the film's great as well. But yeah, the new Star Wars trailer came out, and I just had a few things to say about that.
And what were those things?
That it's just The Empire Strikes Back, isn't it?
It's just
a rip off.
But to everybody can see this except for Pulsar.
Pulsar,
username Pulsar.
You are a cock. You are a cock end.
Pull any punches.
I think he can see it, but he just don't want to admit it to himself or anybody else.
He's such a fanboy, because I looked at a few...
I'm a fanboy of Star Wars, but it is...
Oh, not to his level. I've looked through a few previous threads on Star Wars, and he defends everything about it. He's your proper like fanboy. It's like when you see like Xbox and PlayStation fans that want to go to a fight because theirs
so
is better.
Is there anything in your life that you would defend to that extent... so, like, if there was something crap about something that you really loved, would you defend it still? Is there anything like that that you can think of?
No, because I try and be objective about stuff. But he cannot see that it's just beat for beat. Like The Force Awakens was a beat for beat stealth
Wars,
remake
yeah.
of A New Hope.
Yeah, it was the first Star Wars.
This is going to be a beat for beat remake of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, it is, which is disappointing to me, although I'll still go and see it.
That's the thing. Everyone will still go and see it. It'll make loads of money. And it'll be quite good, because The Force Awakens was good.
But as with everything on Owl's Talk, I am allowed to express my opinion, and so is everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm right, because I am the premier film critic on the website. But if you haven't been on the website, please don't just read it. Register. Okay, so get yourself register on the website, simply because that then allows you to have a look at all the other forums, which are hilarious, including the dressing room section, which is just, it's hidden unless you're logged in.
Now the joy vacuum's gone in there.
Yeah, and then which is funny, and then obviously it allows you to post stuff, which is what we want. We want your opinions on the website. So
thing is, don't be one of those people that just sit there and slag it off, going, "Oh, these people on Owl's Talk." Just like log in and say your own fucking point.
Yeah,
like argue with people. It's fine. Don't be a dick about it.
Just debate.
Yeah, debate.
Let's have
reasonably.
Let's mass debate.
Yes, that.
Let's mass debate.
And on that note, I think we should wrap it up because I've been talking forever.
Okay.
All right. So is there anything else you want to say, Neil?
Respect, Daddy. Bring it down, blood.
And I'll say bye-bye. And Steve, bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Owlstalk.co.uk, where football chat comes last.
Was that the longest one ever?